program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughn. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
La radio que te entretiene, te acompaña, la radio que te enseña. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio Madrid, 100.4 FM.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. 99 euro for 1 year of classes. You can spread the 99 euro over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esas semanas sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan.
Estás escuchando.
You're listening to Vaughan Radio. Esto lo que oyes. Listening. You're listening to Vaughan Radio.
Lo que escuchas,
Vaughan Radio.
And welcome to Speaking Football. My name's Tommy Hay, and I'm joined here by my co-presenter, Rubén Palomero, for episode number 61 of this series. Now, today we're going to be talking about some of the most famous moments in the history of the European Championship, or the Euros, as we often say in English, including Spain's famous victory against Germany back in 2008. However, before we do, let's begin the programme, as always, by revealing the identity of last week's mystery player. Yes.
Mystery player.
Rubén, you can kick us off with clue number one, please.
He was the top scorer at a World Cup.
Very good. He was the top scorer at a World Cup, at one World Cup. Very good. In Spain, this is clue number two. In Spain, he played for Valencia. He played for Logroñés and he also played for Córdoba. So this is an interesting part of his career. He's very famous for playing for Valencia, but he also played for Logroñés and Córdoba. Clue number three, Rubén.
He almost sold his golden boot to an Arabian sheikh to pay some debts.
Yeah, we might have to translate that one. Estuvo cerca de vender su bota de oro a un jeque árabe, an Arab sheikh, because he had a problem with deudas, a problem with debts. He didn't do it, but it's some story. It's an incredible story. Very good. Clue number four. In Scotland, he played for Glasgow Rangers. I actually saw this guy play for Glasgow Rangers once, but I didn't know that he was a Golden Boot winner when I saw him, because he was okay, but he didn't seem like a Golden Boot winner when I saw him. But yeah, I saw him play in Glasgow. And clue number five, Ruben.
His nickname was The Vulture. Recuerda que buitre es vulture.
Very good. Yeah, his nickname was The Vulture. Fantastic. El buitre. Fantastic. Who was our mystery player, Rubén?
Our mystery player was Oleg Salenko.
Very good. Yes, last week's mystery player was the often forgotten winner of the Golden Boot in the 1994 World Cup, Oleg Salenko. He shared the 1994 World Cup Golden Boot with Hristo Stoichkov, who I think was probably the star of that tournament alongside Roberto Baggio. But everybody forgets that Oleg Salenko also scored 6 goals in the tournament. I would say Salenko's Golden Boot is even more incredible, not just because he was playing for Logroñés at the time, but also because of the fact that his country, Ukraine, were eliminated from the tournament in the group stages. They didn't get past the group stages. So to this day, he's still the only player to have won the Golden Boot playing in a team that was knocked out in the first round. So that's a great bit of football trivia for you. Did we have any winners this week, Ruben? It was quite difficult.
Of course, like always. For example, CBP acertó Wembley Tocha el Plantío, la conexión de puerta a puerta. El Rincón de Fútbol Internacional, Dani Alejandro, un clásico también. Alejandro Sebastián Negro también dijo, he was awful. Alejandro Sebastián dijo luego después, sorry about that, Oleg. Javier SL7 también, por supuesto. Dice, that must be Oleg Salenko, who won the Golden Boot in 1994 and played for Valencia as well. I did not know he played for Córdoba too. Did not ever there was another vulture there. Francisco Muñoz también acertó. Dice, I remember that match in which he scored 5 goals. Chris Balroll, nunca falla, dice, hey guys, mystery player is Oleg Salenko, have a terrific weekend. And Daniel Martín Castillo, por supuesto, lo acertó. Y Joaquim Just, que también es un clásico.
An absolute classic of the show, yes. It's interesting, he has this terrible reputation in Spain because I think when he was playing for Valencia, he only played about 20-something games, and he wasn't very good. Our friend José Ramón said that as well. He said, yeah, I remember him playing for Valencia, and he didn't do very well, basically. But he was a great player for Logroñés, and he was a Logroñés player when he scored those 5 goals against Cameroon, and it was against Sweden, I think, the other one, to take him to 6 goals in that tournament. So he was a real star of 1994, even though his country didn't get past the group stages. So, yeah, well.
De hecho, me acuerdo de jugar a Oleg Salenko en Las Gaunas. Y es que aquel Logroñés era un equipo muy aguerrido. Era fantástico verlos.
Yeah, it was a good moment in Logroñés history. Yeah, that's interesting. I have to say, in my lifetime, Logroñés haven't been particularly good. I was born in 1994, so I obviously don't remember any of this stuff. Sorry to make you feel old, Ruben.
sí, siempre lo dices. En todos los programas me recuerdas que eres mucho más joven, ¿no?
Every single time that we do a show, I always remind Ruben that I was born in 1994, and it makes him feel very old. So sorry about that, Ruben. Congratulations.
1994. Wow, my God. 1994, I was watching the World Cup.
Oh, my God.
States. Looking for Salenko scored 5 goals to Cameroon.
I'm very, very sorry, Ruben.
And you were born in.
Yeah, when I was being born. Yeah, I know. I think I was 1 month old when that happened. 1 month. Oh. So just a baby. Well, congratulations to everyone who took part. Now, the European Championship has just started, and today we're going to be talking about some of our favourite moments from the history of the tournament. And that means that it's now time for this week's Football Expressions.
Football Expressions.
Now, to start things off, we're going to go all the way back to Euro 76. To a very famous penalty shootout, tanda de penaltis, between two teams that no longer exist, two countries that no longer exist, West Germany, which would be Alemania Federal, in Spanish, West Germany, we say, and Czechoslovakia, which of course nowadays is divided between the Czech Republic and Slovakia, who will both compete separately in this year's tournament. En la portería, Sepp Maier, y enfrente, Antonín Panenka. Panenka, of course, famously picó la pelota when he took the penalty, and in doing so, he created a piece of football history. Rubén, how do we say picar in this context?
Picar en el contexto de pasar la pelota por encima lentamente, utilizaríamos el verbo to dink, D-I-N-K, to dink.
Very good. Not to be confused with dunk, which is a basketball expression, like a slam dunk, is what we would say.
Exacto. But un mate sería to dunk.
That's it.
Sí, ahora estoy muy puesto, Tommy, con el baloncesto, ya sabes.
That's
to dunk, igual que un mojar las galletas en la leche. You are dunking.
Yeah, like Dunkin' Donuts.
Se te ha venido una... Exactly, está la marca ahora mismo. ¡Ah, Dios mío! Llevan toda la vida diciéndome que monte los donuts y yo no lo sabía. Sí, efectivamente.
That's it. Well, we say dink, D-I-N-K, for picar la pelota. So how would you say picar la pelota por encima de alguien?
To dink the ball over someone.
Very good. To dink the ball over someone. Entonces, ¿cómo traducirías Panenka? Picó la pelota por encima de Maier.
Panenka dinked the ball over Maier.
Perfect, perfect pronunciation as well. Panenka dinked the ball over Maier. Wonderful. Now we're going to go to another famous final now, Euro 88. Euro 88. The Soviet Union, another country that no longer exists, La Unión Soviética, against Holland this time. It's the 54th minute. The Dutch are winning 1-0 thanks to a goal from Ruud Gullit. And un balón le cae a Marco Van Basten a su pierna derecha. The ball falls to Marco Van Basten's right foot. La volea y la marca por encima del portero ruso. Rubén, how do we say volear in English?
Volear en inglés se dice to volley.
Fantastic, yes, exactly. Volear is volley. V for Valladolid. V-O-L-L-E-Y. Volley. Very good. Vamos a aprovechar una estructura que ya conocemos. Let's use a structure that we already know. ¿Cómo traducirías qué volea?
What a volley!
Yeah, exactly. Remember that structure, qué, with the accent, with the tilde, qué, and then a noun. We say what a in English. So, qué volea, what a volley, qué golazo, what a goal.
Fantastic. Y cuando te quieras exaltar por cualquier cosa, recuerda, watch eye, lo que quieras, y estás quedando genial, porque estás diciendo la estructura correcta en inglés, con lo que sea. What a picture, what a lunch, lo que tú quieras.
Yeah, what a movie, what a movie, what
a
team. Yeah, qué equipazo, what a team, fantastic. Yeah, exactly, yeah, what a great structure. Exactly, what a volley, we would say. Could you use the word volley to describe what Van Basten did?
Van Basten, bullet over the Russian goalkeeper.
Fantastic, very good. Van Basten volleyed over the Russian goalkeeper, or Van Basten volleyed the ball over the Russian goalkeeper. Brilliant, fantastic. Now let's go to another final, one that most of you listening will probably remember. This is Euro 2008 between Spain and Germany, a very famous moment. España acaba de ganar su segunda Eurocopa y el capitán Iker Casillas va a levantar el trofeo. Rubén, how do you say levantar and copa in this context?
Bueno, levantar se traduciría por lift, L-I-F-T, y copa es cup, C-U-P.
That's it, yeah. So copa, this confuses people sometimes because in Spanish you would say a copa de vino, but in English we say a glass of wine. We say glass when it's like de vidrio, if it's made of glass, literally. But the cups that you get in football or any other sport, they're not made of glass usually. So we would say the cup is what we say, C-U-P. So to lift is levantar, and the copa in this context of sport would be cup. Now imagine you're commentating on this game in English and you want to say, el capitán español está levantando la copa. How would you say that?
The Spanish captain is lifting the cup.
The happiest moment of your life. Brilliant intonation.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Yeah, the Spanish captain is lifting the cup. A fantastic moment, a historical moment. And now, like for this section of the show, we're going to have a little tribute to this Spanish national team because it was one of the most famous moments in the history of the country. Tell me, Rubén.
Ahora que he salido de la cabeza, cuando dices lifting the cup, ¿tiene lifting algo que ver con la palabra hacerse un lifting?
You mean like in your face?
Yeah.
No, we that's a false translation. We say a facelift for that, for the aesthetic operation. Yeah, a facelift. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. That's like footing, for example.
Yeah,
it's a bad translation. Yeah, exactly. We would say jogging
damage
for footing. Yeah, it happens quite a lot. But yeah, we would say to have a facelift. But yeah, good question. But yeah, we're going to keep talking about this Spanish team that lifted the cup, because it was a massive moment in the history of sport in this country, the 2008 European Championship final against Germany. To refresh our memories, let's have a look at some vocabulary that will help us. So how do you say, Rubén, disputarse?
To be played.
Yeah, literally ser jugado is what we say for disputarse. Exactly. How do you say mantener el dominio de un partido?
You can say to dominate a game or to be on top in a game.
Very good. To dominate a game, like dominar, or to be on top in a game. Very good. How do you say entrar en el partido?
Utilizaríamos el verbo to come into the game.
Exactly. A good phrasal verb to come into a game is entrar en el partido. That can be a player, or it can also be like the team in general. They've started to play well. We would say that they're coming into the game. Very good. Cabecear al poste. I like this one.
To head off the post.
Exactly. To head off OFF, to head off the post. Very good. And if it was el larguero, it would be to head off the crossbar or to head off the bar. But we're going to talk about the post in this context. How would you say meter el balón en el hueco?
To put the ball into space.
Exactly. So we say espacio. Hueco in English is gap, G-A-P. But normally we would say to put the ball into space. Exactly. And how do you say, finally, adelantarse a alguien?
To get ahead of someone.
Yep. To get de toda la vida, G-E-T. To get, and then ahead. To get ahead of someone. That's literally delante. Yeah, to be delante de alguien is to be ahead of someone. So to get ahead of someone. Very good. Right, let's tell the story of this game. How do you say la final de la Eurocopa en 2008 se disputó el 29 de junio en Viena?
A ver, the final of the 2008 European Championship was played on the 29th of June 2008 in Vienna.
Unbelievable. Fantastic. Yes, the final of the 2008 European Championship was played on the 29th of June 2008 in Vienna, in Austria, obviously. Well done, Rubén. How do you say, al principio, Alemania mantuvo el dominio del partido?
At the beginning, Germany dominated the game.
Very good. At the beginning, Germany dominated the game, which they did. Lots of people forget that, but Germany were really on top. They were really superior at the beginning of the game, at the beginning, al principio. How do you say, though, con el paso de los minutos, España empezó a entrar en el partido?
As the minutes went on, Spain started to come into the game.
Fantastic. As the minutes went on, Spain started to come into the game. Very good. Excellent. And the famous chance that Torres had early on. How do you say Fernando Torres cabeceó al poste?
Fernando Torres headed off the post.
Very good. Fernando Torres headed off the post very early on. And how do you say en el minuto 32, Xavi metió el balón al hueco para Torres?
In the 32nd minute, Xavi put the ball into space for Fernando Torres.
Very good. In the 32nd minute, Xavi put the ball into space for Fernando Torres. How do you say Torres se adelantó a Lam y marcó el gol decisivo del partido?
Torres got in front of Lam and scored the winning goal.
Perfect. Very good. Torres got in front of Lam and he scored the winning goal. El gol decisivo is the winning goal in English. So he got in front of Lam and he scored the winning goal. And let's use our new vocabulary from today. How do you say Torres picó el balón sobre el portero?
Torres dinked the ball over the goalkeeper.
Fantastic. Torres dinked the ball over the goalkeeper. Absolutely brilliant. I remember this like it was yesterday. I really do remember it like it was yesterday. I was in my friend's house. It was fantastic. It was a big party. It was great. Let's have a listen to the English commentary of the Euro 2008 final between Spain and Germany.
It is Germany against Spain for the right to claim they are the best in Europe. Germany white shirts and black shorts. Spain red shirts and black shorts. Fencing for a bit of space. It's the first attack Spain has really mounted, and the ball across is a good one to Iniesta, who checks, flicks it across, and Lennon has to make the save, I think, from his own man. Spain with an opportunity here, and this might be exciting. It's in towards Torres, and off the inside of the post. Lennon was beaten there. Such is the magnetism of the European Championships around the world. Might enjoy it even more if there's a goal, and Torres is in here, and Fernando Torres scores for Spain. And what was Jens Lehmann doing? He's broken the barrier. The drought is over for 24-year-old Fernando Torres. The goal comes out of nothing, and there will be soon scenes of delirium here in Vienna for Spain. But the long, long wait behind them. It was in 1964 that they last claimed the European Championship. They've done it again. Here today, Spain rule Europe. They are the champions.
Wonderful memories, absolutely wonderful memories. Now, Ruben, a few years ago, La Vanguardia said that this was the goal that changed Spain. Do you agree with that? Was this such an important goal for Spain?
Yes, I agree. Because Spain, always when they arrive a very important tournament, they always lost in quarterfinals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the quarterfinals were the limit, basically, for Spain. So it was great to actually win the trophy, to lift the trophy this time. Last week, we were talking about the favourites for the competition, the team most likely, probably, the team most likely to lift the trophy. This week, I saw an interview with the old Arsenal manager, Arsène Wenger, and he was saying that his country, France, are the super favourites for the tournament. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
They're not the favourite, they're the super favourite, you know. Favourite is not big enough, because when you win the World Cup and then you have in your team Kante, Pogba, Benzema, Griezmann, Coman, Giroud, I forget half of them, you know. So Dembele, you will have on the bench 11 players who would play basically in any other national team.
Do you agree with him, Ruben? Are France the super favourites for this tournament?
Nosotros decimos que sobre el papel, sí.
Yeah, on paper, we say that as well.
On paper, we can say that one.
Yeah.
I think France is the favourite on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is it's only a game. In 90 minutes can happen everything. So
yeah.
You never know. And the France group is not easy.
France have a really difficult group, isn't it? It's Portugal and Germany and Hungary?
Hungary, yeah.
Hungary as well. So, Hungary. I mean, Hungary, I don't think are going to be too difficult, but the other two, you know, are top teams. I think Portugal are a really good team. Germany aren't what they were in the past, but it's still Germany, and you can never descartar. You can never write off Germany.
You can never write off.
Yeah, never write off Germany. It's a bad idea. Spain play their first game of the tournament against Sweden on Monday night. Where will you be watching this game? You're going to watch it in the house? Are you going to go to a bar?
What are you going to do? I think I'm going to watch at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's on normal TV at home. So, yeah, just sit in the house, maybe have a glass of wine, watch the game.
Yeah, I'm going to sit down in my sofa and I'm going to pray.
Very good. Rezar, very good. Going to pray. Well, I'll be praying with you. I'll be praying with you. And I'll also be praying all week for Scotland as well, because we're both playing on Monday. So Monday's a very big day for both of our countries, Ruben. Now, we don't have much time left, so we're going to finish the program, as always, by giving you the clues for next week's Mystery Player. Mystery Player. Number one, Ruben.
He played in his native country, Spain, England, and Holland.
Very good. He played in his native country, he played in Spain, he played in England, and he also played in Holland. Very good. Clue number two. In Spain, he played with Mallorca, And he also played with Real Betis. So any listeners in Seville that are listening to this, really have a think about who this mystery player is. You might know. And if you're from Mallorca as well, you might know who this guy is too. Clue number three. I love this clue. It's fantastic.
He used a hat in his celebrations.
Yeah, he used a hat in his celebrations. I seem to remember it was like a fedora hat, like a Frank Sinatra kind of hat as well, which is just not a very common thing that you see. But yes, he used a hat when he was celebrating his goals. He used a hat in his celebrations. Very good. Clue number four. This is another big clue. He won a Champions League. He won a Champions League. So obviously he didn't win it with Mallorca and he didn't win it with Betis. So who did he win it with? Think of the countries that he's played in. His native country, Spain. No, it's not Spain. So it was either an English team or a Dutch team. Who did he win the Champions League with? And the last clue, Ruben?
His nickname was the Gazelle.
Very good. The Gazela, you would say in Spanish.
Sí, no? La Gazela.
That's La Gazela. In English, it's the Gazelle with Theta, with Z, the Gazelle. So his nickname was the Gazelle. As always, if you think you know the answer, you can write to us on Twitter at Speak Football, and you can let us know who you think the mystery player is. That's all we've got time for this week's show. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te puede ayudar a mejorar tu inglés, con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos